This is the introductory podcast for Jennifer Egan's A Visit from the Goon Squad. As usual, I'll be introducing the book and providing a few kind of background thoughts and things to consider as you move into the novel. The first thing I'd like to begin with talking about, though, is a little bit about the book itself. One thing you'll note if you have the physical copy is that it was a heavily awarded novel when it came out in 2011. It won the Pulitzer Prize that year. You can see the list of awards it won on the inside cover of your copy if you have, as I said, if you have a physical copy of the book. So fairly heavily awarded, kind of critically lauded novel, but at the same time, fairly controversial for having won as many awards as it did. A lot of people don't like this book. In fact, a couple of my friends, when I mentioned I was thinking about including it in this class, suggested that I probably shouldn't because it's, as they said, it's not very good. But I wanted to anyway because, you know, it's controversial and certain people like it. In fact, Jonathan Franzen, if you're familiar with his work, is one of the major champions of this, and Franzen himself is a kind of controversial figure in American letters. He's the one who said when the Corrections was selected for Oprah's book club, he felt like it was beneath him somehow to go on Oprah Winfrey's show. So it's kind of associated with that sort of kind of elitist novel writing culture. And I don't know if that's necessarily true or fair thing to say about A Visit from the Goon Squad, but it is a part of this world, I think, to some extent. So something to be aware of as you're reading through this is that it has a certain kind of attitude as kind of great American literature as this kind of exclusive sort of thing. But I don't know if that's necessarily what we actually find in the novel as we read it, but that seems to be the kind of cultural conversation around it. So something to consider as you're moving into this novel. Another thing to think about here that is a really interesting question for me, and hopefully for you as well, is the question of whether or not this actually counts as a novel. As you'll find out when you're reading through this, once you get started in this novel, each of the chapters, there's 13 chapters, each of the chapters is told from a different perspective. And when I say that to you, you know, you think, okay, well, maybe this will be like Ulysses, and it jumps around from, you know, person to person, but it still tells one story. And maybe Visit from the Goon Squad does, and this is something to ask yourself, but you'll find when you read this that these are short stories. Each one of them concludes. There's no overarching plot. This isn't going to be like Big Machine or The Hypnotist, where you have kind of one overarching plot, you know, who abducted the main character's son, you know, who is Solomon Kane and why are they trying to kill him? These are the kind of questions that you get from the kind of the last two novels we read. And this one is up to something else, I think. It's doing something else. Here it has 13 different stories that are told from different perspectives and range anywhere from the 1970s into the kind of near future. And so I think that's an interesting thing to consider is like, why is this a novel? Because Jennifer Egan has gone out of her way on her website and with a number of interviews she gave to say, no, this is actually a novel. It's not a collection of short stories, despite the fact that most of these chapters in this novel were published independently as standalone short stories. They were published in, you know, like the New Yorker and magazines like that that still publish short stories. So the question is, like, why does this count as a novel? And one of the ways that Egan explains it, and, you know, do not give anything away about the plot, this is a novel partly about rock music and, I would say, the death of rock and roll, because I think this is one of those things that maybe you guys are aware of or maybe you're not, but I think you can claim that rock and roll is over as a genre. It turns out it wasn't this kind of transhistorical thing. It was a genre that had a moment just like anything else, and so this is about the decline and fall of rock music with sort of the kind of moment of punk rock and kind of independent music and then sort of this decline into kind of not necessarily major popularity anymore and the decline of major labels and things like that. So this is kind of what the book documents, and Egan says that this topic, this kind of focus of this book, informs the structure of the novel. And she says that she intended this book to be a concept album. So if you've listened to Tommy by The Who or The Wall by Pink Floyd, these kind of albums where you have different songs that have different musical styles, sound different, tell different parts of the story, but kind of add up to create a whole picture of whatever, a pinball wizard, a abandoned rock star, you know, whatever one you want, some sort of dystopian future society. I think Rush has an album about that. So that's kind of what Jenny Egan has said she's after in this novel, and that's what makes it a novel. Is that it's not just a collection of short stories in which the novels carry different characters and kind of share different characters, I guess is the thing to say, and kind of have sort of shared themes. Because I think there are a couple of themes that run through this novel. There are all the stories about abandonment. All the stories equate growing up with being a failure. There's questions about authenticity. So I think they share a certain kind of conceptual universe. But they all kind of comment on the same sort of set of things and kind of document these people's relationship over a 40-year period or so. But the other thing I think I'd say, and something else to pay attention to as you're reading this novel, is to ask yourself, and I know knowing that these stories were published on their own, you know, maybe this isn't necessarily true, but do you feel like you could read these chapters in any order and get the same effect out of them? And I think that's one of the things that you could say with a novel that's as loosely novelistic, and I'm using scare quotes there if you can't hear that, that's as loosely novelistic as this one, you know, how do you ask the question, how is this a novel? And I think the thing you can say is what differentiates a novel from a collection of short stories is whether or not you can read them in order. So, like, a collection of short stories, you know, theoretically, you could read them in any order you wanted. You could read the last one first, you know, the middle one, you know, second, however you want. I sometimes, as a proof of concept to see if this works, I sometimes read books of short stories backwards, just because I want to see if that happens. And one of the things you'll note in A Visit from the Goon Squad, as you read through it, I think, is that these short stories build up your understanding of these people. And they all comment on one another and the relationship. So that I think if you read this book in reverse order, I don't think it would make as much sense. And I don't think it would be as good. So there does seem to be, despite the fact that these are independent standalone short stories, it does seem to be adding up to a kind of collective whole, even if it doesn't give us what we want from a novel. And I think this is one of the interesting things to think about as you're reading this is, you know, because this novel, which I always kind of want to put in scare quotes when I talk about it as a novel, it plays with what we expect from a novel. It doesn't give us what we want, as I said. And so I think that's a really interesting question to ask yourself is, like, can this count as a novel? Do you get the same things that you want from reading this that you get from reading a normal kind of linearly plotted or at least cohesively plotted novel? Because I think one of the things that I find frustrating about this book is that it's not even that it's not linear, because, I mean, Train Dreams was not linear. It's the fact that it doesn't really have any kind of, I think, unifying point. It has unifying themes, and it comments and builds up our understanding of this community of people, but it doesn't have this kind of overarching topic, I think, which is something I like in a novel. So I don't know. I found that to be a little bit frustrating. So see how you think about that as you're reading it. But just to be aware of the fact that this is not your normal novel. Another thing also I'll mention, because a couple of people who I know who have read this have also had this experience, because I found this to be the case as well. I think the first two chapters in this novel, the first two stories, are not very good. The story about Sasha, which opens the novel, is especially weak. So when you start this book, bear in mind that around chapter 3, it starts to get a lot better. So don't let the first two chapters throw you off when you're reading this, because I think they turned me off initially when I first started this novel. I didn't really want to read this, and then it actually got to where I really enjoyed it. So as I said, don't let the first two chapters throw you. This book is much better, I think, than those first two stories would indicate. So bear that in mind as you're reading, and also think, as I said, about what makes this different as a novel, the way it's structured differently, the kind of questions it forces us to ask, Also enjoy when you get to it, the chapter in PowerPoint. I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about that on the discussion boards and in my response podcast when you get there. But that's chapter 12, so something to look forward to. But nonetheless, Jennifer Egan's Visit from the Goon Squad, 2011 Pulitzer Prize winner. Enjoy it. I look forward to reading your responses.